welcome, 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 welcome to the Faith, Freedom, and Justice Report. Faith, Freedom, and Justice Report. What is faith to you? What is freedom to you? What is justice? What is justice? I'm sorry, my English teacher would be mad at me. The short term is the Freedom Fighters Report. We want to thank you for joining us. This is sponsored by the Interfaith community. It's also supported by the Minority Contractors. And the coalition you can join us is called the Interfaith and Business Coalition Movement. That means we're about action and not just about words. There are a whole range of things that are going on in the faith community. What is your faith? Where is your faith, Reverend James Cleveland would say? Tell me, where is your faith? It's our faith is in God. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Faith. Faith walks in many ways, different faith walks, but all under one God. What does freedom mean? What does it really mean? What it means, tell me, how does it feel to be free? Tell me about these chains binding me. All right. Freedom, what is freedom in your estimation? Is there freedom in Baltimore City? Is there freedom in Maryland? Is there freedom in Nigeria for those women? Is there freedom in the White House? Is there freedom in City Hall? Is there freedom in you? And what is justice? Did Tavon Austin get justice? Are we going to be preoccupied with that? Are we going to figure out about that? Was that a phase to demand justice? Are there similar bills like that going around this nation? Sunset laws. You got to be out of Dodge by sunset. A bill introduced in the Maryland General Assembly. How do we feel about that? Economic freedom. Do we have the freedom to what? To bid for contracts like everybody else? Do we get a fair share? What impact does the Supreme Court decision that we just got down from the United States Supreme Court, because it's not the Supreme Court, which is God, they decided that they want to send the affirmative action bill, law, ruling, expectation, policies that we had fought so hard to get, because affirmative action has a dirty word. Being liberal is a dirty word. The Tea Party says what? We don't need no affirmative action. Even Clarence Thomas, Justice Clarence Thomas, who benefited from affirmative action when he went to school, he says, good enough for me, but it ain't good enough for my dear brother and sister, because they should pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, not like Dr. Booker T. Washington said at Tuskegee, but like he says, yeah, I got mine, you got yours to get. What do you feel about any of those things? Here we're sitting with Reverend Arnold Jolivet, Jr., and this has been sponsored and supported also by his father and those great men and women of the Maryland Minority Contractors, as well as the American Minority Contracts, as well as people like Union Baptist Church, people like my brother's church, people in Mars. I met with Brother Melvin Bilal, who had run for mayor. He's a Muslim brother. He's a businessman. And they're small businessmen and women and large businessmen and women. And they're people that are just trying to get started and just trying to survive. So I throw the ball. I'm fading back. I'm throwing it long, long. And there it is. Oh, Arnold, he caught it with one finger. My goodness, man.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Brother Daki. Again, as he told you, it's Mr. Arnold Jolivet II, and I'm excited to be on the airwaves with you all this afternoon. As you know, you so aptly put it when you're talking about freedom. You know, what is freedom? You know, so many of the freedoms and the liberties that we simply take for granted, being citizens of the United States of America, the greatest country in the world, in my opinion. Is it perfect? No. But we have freedoms and liberties here that aren't afforded elsewhere. You know, you heard about stories just recently of people who were murdered simply because of their faith, simply because of their belief. So we have the ability to be, to choose, to do whatever you want to be. You know, people who are coming, people are actually risking their lives to come into this country. So, you know, freedom is not free. Brother Daki, if you look at anything, any movement, if you look at any struggle, any group of people that fought for freedom, it came through force. You know, it came through struggle. It didn't come easy. So, you know, I just really want to remember that, because any freedom that if you're listening right now, if you're looking to get free, whatever type of freedom that you may be looking for, whether it be economic freedom, spiritual freedom, any type of freedom that you're looking to get, it's going to come with a cost. You're going to have to pay a price. You know, it was interesting. I was in the auto shop. I was getting my car serviced, Brother Daki, the other day, and we were in the lounge, and there was a vending machine. And so there was a lady that put some money into the vending machine, and it would not give her her soda. So she went to the manager and she complained to the manager, and he came over to check the machine. Machine seemed like it was working fine. And so he asked the lady, he said, well, you know, how much money did you put into the machine? And she said, I put 75 cents into the machine and I want my money back because it's not doing what this machine is supposed to do. So he simply pointed to the sign, Brother Daki, and the sign said $1.
Ah.
So he told her, he said, unless you pay the full price, you're not going to get what it is that you want. So you know, if it's the same thing for a can of soda, that you have to pay the full price to get what you want, why do we think that we should not have to pay the full price for getting whatever freedom that we want out of life? So that's really what we're talking about, is freedom. And we're talking about all the people who come before us who took a stand, you know.
Amen.
People who risked their lives, people who put things on the line, not thinking of themselves, but think about all the people who are going to be blessed generations and generations afterward because they decided to take a stand for freedom. So really, that's one of the things that was on my mind today, is just thinking about those freedoms. You know, again, as I said, you know, we walk around and, you know, we have the ability to be able to hold a Bible outside on a corner and read the Word of God. And you go to certain countries, you can't do that. You go certain places, you can't do that. So, you know, we should not take those things for granted. And I'm just thankful that, you know, God has given me the ability and the choice, and that the blood was shed for me to be free.
And, you know, that is such a powerful testimony. And a lot of people don't know a lot of history personally. They know their personal history. They know the great personal history of their parents and their grandparents. And they may not know, and many of them may do know, the history that came before them and the history that's ongoing. Brother Lewis Fields, who does a lot of things in this town, he calls me last soldier standing. He said, there he is, the last soldier standing. And I'm looking around like, man, you lost your mind. You think I'm trying to be the last soldier standing? And what he really means by that is that I seem to be still on the battlefield, you know, because the battlefield is in me. And I'm on the battlefield, and they tell me, say, bro, you still at it? And I look at him and say, was it a fad? I wish somebody told me I'd have quit a long time ago, you know? And so I'm saying there are many of us that are still on the battlefield, you know, and there are many of us that have been wounded. And all I'm saying is that so we're wounded warriors, right? Whether we having served in Vietnam like I did, and then you have having served so well and honorably, and then you have somebody telling you, well, you know what? The depression you may suffer from, the post-traumatic stress symptoms you may have, you know what? They weren't combat related. And I said, really? Thank you very much for telling me that. Because not only am I suffering from elements of post-traumatic stress, Vietnam was 40 years ago, I'm suffering from present traumatic stress, and it looks like it's going to be continuous traumatic stress. And so all I'm saying is that there are many people who have fought a good fight that we might even be able to be in this radio station, talking before this mic, with a station owned by a black woman, you know, who now is in the public venue, you know, you can buy it on the New York Stock Exchange. And all I'm saying is this, what does freedom look like once we obtain it? They say to use a symbol. I remember Reverend Dobson, with Brother Malik and Ali came to him. They're Muslims. Reverend Dobson is a Christian minister. He's with the Lord now. And he came to him and said, Reverend, we trying to get a chaplain in the Maryland State Penitentiary. Now, another minister would have said, well, you ain't Christian, so we ain't doing nothing. Reverend Dobson made sure he supported Brother Ali and Brother Malik, Sunni Muslims, to make sure that those doors at the Maryland State Penitentiary accommodated them worshiping their faith as they chose to do so. And all I'm saying is, as people support people who may have different walks than theirs and have the freedom to do that, and not because you choose to embrace your brother who's Muslim or your brother who's yours, or your sister, you know, who may have a different walk or a different talk. Yana Van says, be careful. That's a good friend of mine. You may be the only Bible that somebody reads. They may not open up a book. They may be on solitary confinement in the penitentiary. They may be a Jessup cut. And they may be at work release. And they may be getting ready to go to court in violation of parole. They may be locked up under the new slavery drugs, right? Not knowing how to get their hit, trying to get out the gate. And all we're saying is this, there is power, right, in the fact that you believe that there's a community that will not judge you, but will reach out to you, because but by the grace of God, there go I.
you know, you said a lot right there, and it's so true of what you're talking about. And one thing that I thought about, you know, when we talked about fighting for freedom and we talked about some of the liberties that we have, that's why I always honor our men and women in the military, because the way that they sacrifice, you know, these people aren't, you know, people in the military aren't making millions of dollars, and you know, they're not. And so now, you know, with our soldiers coming home from the Iraqi war and the Afghan war, you know, they're having trouble getting jobs, they're having trouble being able to fit back into society. But one thing with any branch of the military that you get involved in, one thing that you always have to complete, Brother Daki, is basic training.
Mm.
Basic training,
man.
You know, it's a period where you are absolutely your memory of everything that you knew before is erased, and you have to really start over brand new from basically how to tie your shoe, how to walk, how to talk. You're actually putting your life in somebody else's hand. You're trusting that person that you're going to go to war with. You're trusting that they are going to have your back. So, you know, whether you're in business, whether you're in ministry, whether you are working on your job, whether you're working for the state, whether you're working for the city or in private industry, there's some type of basic training that you have to go through in order to be able to have the tools to equip you to do whatever it is that your hands have found to do effectively. And so many times, you know, you see people who get frustrated or aren't achieving the level of success that they should achieve. And a lot of times it's because they don't have the tools, they don't have the training that's needed. And a lot of times it's training on the go, it's on the job training, but a lot of times you have to take your baby steps in order to get where you have to go to get the freedom that you want to have. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to become a millionaire overnight. You're not going to become the CEO overnight. But one thing I found, and I know you have seen this through your experience, all the people that you've touched, Brother Daki, is a lot of times we don't have people today that want to start volunteering their time, you know, in order to get a foot in the door to rise up to that level to where they want to be. You know, so many people in the microwave society that we're in today, they want to start out as a CEO. Mm-hmm. They don't want to start out, you know, minimum wage. That I heard in one state, they voted up minimum wage to $15 an hour, you know, and when we were coming up, minimum wage was less than $5 an hour. And you have people who say, oh, well, I'm too good to work at McDonald's. I'm too good to work here, work there. But that person who went to work at McDonald's, who was doing the best that they could do on fries, who was doing whatever was asked of them, whether it be to mop the floor, clean the toilets, that person that showed that ambition may now own 5 McDonald's franchises.
Amen.
So, you know, don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise. You may be 40 years old, 50 years old right now, listening to this call, but God has still allowed you the ability to start wherever he has you. But don't be afraid to take that time, because his time is not our time, to work up to wherever you want to go. But make sure that you have the tools that you need to get what you want to get.
And you know, everybody has a story, and my story may not be my brothers and sisters' story. There are brothers I know who fell down. You say, we fall down, we get up. And they happen to do something, like my son in particular. Young people doing creative things that get them in trouble, right? And my son, when I had a radio program again, came in and testified to what God had done in his life after he had fallen down. The son of a preacher, myself, right? Young boys out there robbing people with BB guns at 15. And we talk about justice. My son went through the process, and what? He was supposed to be tried, first offense, in the juvenile courts. But he did that in the county at Orange Mills. And at 15, 16, they tried him in the adult court. And I saw them have little white kids who had done the same crime. I don't know if it was a fad, a gang initiation, I don't know what it was. Or just curiosity, killing the cat. No, please don't kill the cat. All right. How did I feel like that when I chased the cat? All I'm saying is this. I'm saying that they took my son, because his name was Rasan Napata, and insisted that he be tried in adult court for robbing somebody with a BB gun with his boys. And now he's in ministry, and he'll testify to this better than I can. And I pray that he may call in. And all I'm saying, but by the grace of God, they'd have thrown that young kid away, happened to be my son, and given him a 5-year mandatory federal gun charge because they couldn't find a BB gun, even though they found the BB gun box and BB gun ammunition when they came in the house. And all I'm saying, by the grace of God, God made sure that when my son had put that gun, BB gun, under a bush, and even though it had snowed over the winter, right, he said, Daddy, I feel it's still there. He always had the gift, right? And I went, he was on home monitor, sent him back home, right? I said, where is the gun? And I ain't no shame in the game. He said, Daddy, it was under the bush. And I feel it's still there. I said, man, but it snowed. He said, Daddy, I think it's still there. So I went there, and sure enough, it was sitting there in plain view, right? I'm not trying to celebrate what my son did, because there's no way in the world I told him to rob anybody with a BB gun, let alone black women. And he knows that now, and he will testify to that now. And now he's serving black women and black children and black youth better than I could ever begin to think of. And I affirm and love my son, Rahsaan Napata. And in spite of that, all I'm saying is the great Eddie Smith and Lawrence Rosenberg, who his mother had hired as a lawyer, all I'm saying, they were able to keep my son and Alvin Austin, who I went to Morgan with, who was a public defender out in the county, who assisted me, right, when he saw me walking down the hall at the county court. He said, man, why are you here? I said, I'm here with my son. He said, yeah, he looks just like me. He began to praise me. I said, no, man, please, it's about my son right now. He said, what is he here for? I said, armed robbery. He said, what? I said, but with a BB gun. All I'm saying, that story turned out good. We have callers because good people help good people serving God. And so now my son is not a throwaway son like other folks' sons and daughters are who may be innocent of being nothing but a BMW walking while a black man walking. Peace. We have callers.
Yes, and that's so powerful because, you know, your son's testimony, somebody needed to hear that, Brother Daki, and someone is being blessed just because of what your son went through. So everything that he went through and the support that you showed him as a loving father was definitely not in vain. But,
and he called on the show when I didn't expect him to call and gave his own testimony.
Absolutely, absolutely. So again, we're going to give you the call in number. It's 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. And right now, we're actually just talking about freedoms. We're talking about the freedoms that we get to enjoy. We talk about so many people who have struggled, people who have come to this country. You know, they talked about the Major League Baseball player Yasiel Puig. And if you know anything about this story and what he had to go through in order to come over to the United States from Cuba, this man attempted to get over here over 10 times from Cuba. And he finally made it over to the United States. And he said he was willing to give up. He was willing to give up whatever dollar amount, whatever black market dollar amount that he had to negotiate on his current Major League Baseball contract. He was willing to do that because of the freedoms that he deserved. One of my business partners, who is from Honduras, this gentleman did not own his own pair of shoes. He did not have his own pair of shoes until he was 12 years old. And now he is a very successful businessman and has been able to go back to Honduras to build and develop all types of land in that area. So I just say that to say that the favor and the freedoms that we have right here as American citizens, you know, we can't take that for granted because you have the ability right now being here in this country, in this state, in this city to be, to do and to have whatever you want to have. And we're talking about doing that in business. We're talking about doing that in life. So, again, if you want to call in, you can call in at 410-481-1010. We're also online at WOLBBaltimore.com. That's WOLBBaltimore.com. So we know we have people that are listening in via the internet from all over the country, all over the world, and we have people here in our local area. And you know, it's not popular, Brother Daki. You know, a lot of times, you know, when we talk about the news, you know, so many people are attracted to the car wreck. You know, when you see a car wreck on the side of 95 and you wonder why traffic is backed up for 3 or 4 miles, it's because people are rubbernecking. They're looking to see what tragedy happened. So it's not always popular to talk about being free. It's not always popular to talk about fighting for freedom. So many times it's easy to make an excuse as to why I didn't get this, why I didn't get that, or who's not doing what for me. But we're talking about taking personal responsibility right now for your own freedom. And by you taking responsibility for your own freedom, the other people who are going to gain courage, who might not have the courage to go after what is theirs. So Amen. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about right now having permission to fight and go for your own freedom.
Amen. Well said. You know, the other thing, too, and we're going to go to a musical interlude and invite you to call in and tell us rather than us tell you or to talk with you about what you view about what faith is, what freedom is to you. What justice is to you? Is it just us? It's locked out of the justice system. Is there fairness? There are brothers and sisters who come out having served their time and they get stigmatized, can't vote, right? We fought very hard to get that change. They get stigmatized with a record. Can't get a job because there's something on their record. What can we do collectively together to help those brothers and sisters? We have a caller? All right. So as you call in, we're going to slide into some music because this is the Faith, Freedom, and Justice Report. In other words, the Faith, Freedom Fighters Report. And what is the report? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it glad? Is it sad? You tell us. Please call in.
My name is Ruth Roosey. I'm a retired teacher. I'm 91 years old, and this is how I live United. I say retired, but not really. Once a week, I read books to children as part of United Way's education program. Reading to a child creates links between language and literacy. It creates a bond between grown-up and child. And believe it or not, it prepares them for a better academic future. Oh, we read about frogs and flies and pigs with wings, all sorts of juicy stuff. It's a joy to watch all those little faces. I figure I have the time and they have the need. And I've always believed that if we're not here to help each other, then what are we here for, really? My name is Ruth Roosey. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
1010 WOLB.
All right, well, we're back on the air, and again, we are excited to be here with you this afternoon, and we have some callers on the line, so we want to make sure that we reach out to the callers and hear what's on their mind today. So a caller I'd like to go to is now is Lynn on line two. So, Lynn, are you on the air?
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey,
how are you?
Great Lynn boy, my home girl. Cherry Hill.
I'm here at Coppin Academy with some of these future leaders. We're signing them up to vote.
Awesome, awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we just came up here helping them to understand their responsibility as citizens of this great country and their civic duty, and they're excited to sign up right now.
Do they want to say something on the air?
Pardon me?
Do they want to say anything on the air, those young people?
Yeah. Mr.
Okay.
Carroll, do you want to say something? Yeah. Yeah, here he is.
All right, come with it.
Hi, this is Kevin Carroll for Coppin Academy High School, and I would like to give a shout-out to my mother, Mitchell Barton.
What's your mother's name? Tell them people stop laughing. They get on the mic. You on the mic. They can get on the mic, too. Who's your mother? What's her name?
Mitchell Barton.
All right, all right. And what did she teach you about freedom and voting, and you there with the great Lynn Bowen signing up to register to vote? Come on, man. What did they tell you about voting? What did they tell you about the importance of voting, your mother, that you gave a shout-out to, your grandmother and all them? Why is voting important?
And they just taught me to vote because it's just like it's good. And hey, I'm nervous a little bit. Like how you can, you don't gotta pay to go to college and none of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, then do this for me. I want you to shift gears. I want you to be a radio DJ right now, and I want you to tell those people giggling in the background. Some of them sound like sisters. Some of them sound like brothers. Let me let you let them on the air. Introduce the person that's around there giggling the most. Yeah. What's the name of the person that's giggling in the background because they think it's funny or they think they're real happy, right, that you're talking on the radio? Because Miss Lynn made that happen, and Brother Arnold Jolivet sitting here made sure we got Miss Lynn on the air. So say whatever you want to say about what's going to change things, man. And who are going
to... I just wanted to tell everybody that it changed. They need to just get out and vote because it will make a change.
All right. Brother Arnold may have some questions, and Lynn may have some additional comments. And we might need to get some of those sisters back there giggling and brothers.
Well, no, I'm just excited that the young people involved in the process. Again, we talked about if it's freedom, you had the ability to change it. And the only way you use that is by exercising your right to vote. So I'm just excited to hear you all getting out and getting active in the process. So I commend you, young man, and keep up the good work and all the great people over there at Coppin, especially Ms. Lynn Bowens. Keep doing what you're doing.
And make sure we know, make sure you ask them the question when you vote, what do you represent? What are you supporting? We're not just voting to be voting because my grandmother and other people voted. That's very important.
Yes.
But if they're not going to, what, build more schools, allow you to have a job once you go to school, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Allow you to have resources. Go ahead, brother, talk.
Yeah, because I got a job, too.
Well, that's good. Black man with a job. Yeah. How are you? All right. Is Ms. Bowen still there? Hello?
Hello?
Is Ms. Lynn Bowen still there?
Hello?
Yeah, Sister Lynn.
Yeah.
Why is this work so important? I mean, you travel all over the state doing a whole range of things. And
well, this is our future generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not going to be on the planet forever.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just setting some motions in place that we might be able to ensure this future and this country is on the right road.
And you know what? We were also talking earlier about fathers.
Thank you, Ken.
And thank you for us, too. And tell them they can come and sit behind the mic one day, all right, and have on their resume and satisfy.
He had to run off the class, but I'll tell him that.
Thank you, thank you. And the young women, too. We were talking about the fathers of the movement earlier, and you interacted with some of the great fathers of the movement. Can you say anything about what's important about celebrating fathers? Your son went to Naval Academy, and your daughter's a doctor in California. Your grandmother preparing to fly out to California to see your grandson. Say something about the importance of fathers and grandfathers and sons.
Okay. Very quickly, because I'm here with a whole table full of good-looking young people, so I won't be able to say too much. But fatherhood, this country is built upon that, the great fathers and the forefathers. And exactly in our neighborhoods, when I was a little girl, it was our dads who came home from working every day that carried on the family tradition, taking care of us and helping to shape and mold us, and teaching us what was important, respect for one another, and making sure that they were there to hold the family down. And so, you know, without fathers, where would we be?
Mm.
Without fathers, you know, I mean, it's like an equation, 1 + 1 = 2. And if you only have one, right?
That's right.
Yeah, real simple equation. So, yeah.
Well, one last thing, and I know you got to go. Tell us about the fathers of the movement. Can you mention at least one father of the movement that was so impactful in your life?
You're talking about the great Raymond Haynesburg.
Oh, the great Raymond Haynesburg, a Tuskegee Airman, red tail.
Yeah,
just something a little bit about him.
You know, he impacted this community. There's so many people as an entrepreneur and as a multimillionaire, self-made millionaire.
Mm.
He did wonders in our community, helping other businesses to get started, helping other entrepreneurs do the dreams that he had. He came from very humble beginnings, but he never forgot us. He never forgot the people.
Mm.
And he just continued to show that all the way up until his transition.
Last
talk that I would have with him, that's what he was continuing to talk about.
Amen.
Making sure that the community was taken care of, making sure that those young business-minded individuals got a chance.
And what about Reverend Dobson?
Oh, my God, Doc. He was one of a kind. He was the only one as well. Reverend Dobson was another great one who worried about the people. He was one of the few ministers in that quarter that he would actually... I'm sorry. He was only the one that used to walk in that community day in and day out. All of the ministers that was in that quarter of Druid Hill, he walked that community. He knew people by first name. He knew families. And he did everything he could to keep those families going on that Druid Hill quarter. So,
and we thank you so much because you used to do things in the park with young people. And even with limited resources.
Unity for Success, Unity for Success, rallying apart. Now everybody is giving out school supplies.
Right, and you also...
We started going in 1994.
Right, and you also flew down to Haiti and to help the children of Haiti. Say just a teeny bit about that, and I'll let you go.
Sure do, Well, Haiti, of course, you know, being our premier example of what a nation of people can do in terms of overthrowing, you know, the people that had... kept them down for years. That kingdom, that small jewel in the sea, in the Caribbean Sea, was able to overthrow those terrorists that were on them
And they're just an example of what we can do as a nation of people. So God bless you for that, brother. And I want to get back here to these kids.
Thank you. You always do want to get back to the show.
Yeah,
thank you.
Keep up with your good work, and God bless you and Mother Kathy Hughes. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Your lines are lighting up right now. We're going to go over here to line three and call you on the line.
Yes, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey,
fantastic. How are you?
It's good to basically have freedom when you have real freedom. But the Voting Rights Act, which people are talking about, the real powers of this government came up with the solution that every 25 years, not quite sure you heard it, that they will go into this system of Voting Rights Act, the real powers of this country. And another thing our people go into with this religion and whatnot, and these Protestant religions that most of our people are in were started by Europeans. In Europe, Baptists, Methodists, they were started by those Europeans and brought to this country. The one that I have to respect is basically Malcolm X and also Ali, who didn't go into Vietnam. All of them were based on lies, Vietnam, and the two present ones now on the Arabian Peninsula, Afghanistan, and they were based on lies. And our people were going to war, fighting for a system that has done horrible things to get them based on lies. Take care.
Okay, I'd like to respond to Bob. I do know Bob, but I believe I recognize his voice if I'm not mistaken. That's Baba. He's been to Africa, Nigeria, and he's a consistent caller on Radio 1, and we thank him for an elder for sharing his perspective. One thing I would say is this, having known him, and he knows me, I respect him, and I believe he respects me. One thing I think is this, I think we have a tendency sometimes, whether it be he or I or anybody, to put everybody in the same basket and to have our bit of understanding of our perspective and our history, to color the whole coloring book. I would be the first to say, I hear what you're saying. I agree with some things, even as you can agree with me and disagree with me. You have that right. And there are many things I disagree with what you said, as one elder to another. You know. And one thing I would say is this. When we study the history as you've studied it, and as I've studied it, and when we study the elders who came before us, the Dr. Joseph Ben Jochanan, who wrote many books about the African origin of civilization. The African origin of the major Western religions. And we read the great Dr. Shekhan Diop, you know, this great Senegalese African historian who wrote The African Origin of Civilization, did his dissertation on the cultural unity of Africa. You know, all I'm saying is this, that when we read these mighty men and women, including Dr. Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation of the Negro, and we read the Dr. Howard Thurman's and on, and when we read the Bible with the right perspective, knowing that many things in the Bible did not come out of the West. Many of those ideas came out of Africa, the notion of one God, the notion of resurrection, the notion of the return, you know. And all I'm saying is that when we come into a circle to share those bits of information that we have standing on the shoulders of the Dr. Shekhan Diop, of the J.A. Rogers, of the Dr. Drusilla Dungy Houston, and even of our own brothers and sisters in our own communities who are living in institutions, then what we don't do is paint everybody with the same brush and dismiss everything that we find ourselves doing in the West, in America, in the Caribbean, in Brazil, as something of us falling white folks. African people who created the Christian faith, you know, African people who, like the great Bilal, who was an Ethiopian, who was the first caller to prayer, who gave sanctuary to the Muslims, you know, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings, was being persecuted in Mecca and Medina. He went to Bilal, peace and blessings be upon his name, and he asked him, what should we do? And this Ethiopian lawyer who had been enslaved in the marketplace of Mecca said, I know a place we can go where we can find sanctuary. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings, said, where? He said, in my mother's house, my grandmother's house. He said, where is that? He said, in Abyssinia, which is Ethiopia. And the believers of that day went after being persecuted and went and found sanctuary and refuge and information and hospitality and wisdom in Ethiopia to return back to Arabia. All I'm saying is there's so much knowledge that we tend to dismiss everybody. Oh, that's the white man. The mother of the church follows the tradition of the African church, right? People wearing white in the church, being baptized, take me to the water. Those are African traditions, even though they may find themselves in the shells of Western Christianity. All I'm saying is the return of African spirituality that finds itself expressing itself, whether through Reverend Nat Turner, whether through Denmark Vesey, Bishop McGuire McCoy, or Daddy Grace, or even the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or Minister Farrakhan, or Minister El Haj Malik El Shabazz, whose daddy was a Baptist preacher, and his mother was from Grenada. I could go on and on. All I'm saying is we must call for a unity, you know, of the faiths so that we can address the contemporary problems we face today rather than talking about who ain't this and who ain't that. You know, who's, as Kwame Ture says, how can we, what is the white man stopping us from organizing? So we're going to go back to the call.
Awesome. We have another caller on line four. Caller, are you on the line? You on the air?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, speak up, brother.
Yes, I'm calling about Love, Peace in the Streets, Stop the Violence Summit.
Go right ahead.
Coppin State on Saturday, June 7th from 2 to 5. That's 2500 North Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21216. Keynote speakers, Otto Mitchell and Travis Winky. There will be panel discussions, seminars, workshops, human resource, vendors, job placement and training, refuge, economical development, educational workshops, drug and alcohol counseling, recreation, entertainment, and refreshments.
Give us that information again. We want to make sure we definitely get that word out. When is the event?
The event is Saturday, June 7th, 2014, from 2 to 5 at Coppin State University in the Talent Center, 2500 North Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21216. That's Save Another Youth.
Is there any cost of admission or what was one need to do? It's free. Okay, great. Well, we appreciate you getting that word out. It sounds like a tremendous event and one that everyone who's listening in definitely needs to attend. So we appreciate you helping us get that word out.
And that's something that we're a part of. The caller may not know that there was a I can call it an in-gathering to announce this initiative. And the Reverend Willie Ray, who's been on the front line a long time dealing with Save Another Youth, who your father in particular has not only befriended, but also has provided resources with him over the years as he's provided the resource of his life, his commitment and sacrifice to our community. And so at that affair at Enon Baptist Church, we endorsed it, provided resources financially. In other words, your father in particular, and there were ministers there, and there were young people there. There were people representing the city. There were people from Coppin. And we expressly said we will support that effort, but we don't want to stop with just that effort. We want to hear that effort, participate in it, and be a part of a movement that would take us away from the college campus into the streets to talk about what can we do to not only stop the killing, to provide jobs for these young brothers and sisters, and also to make sure that we have structures that are built, you know, and renovated and secured for the community so we can make a difference and not just do an event, but be a part of a movement to bring into ourselves the type of building processes, the type of prioritized dollars in this town that are spent to serve you instead of build. Anytime you can predict how many jails you can build based upon the third grade results of a third, the results of a third grade greatest report card, something's demonic about that. You build the prisons based upon how you predict this third grade is going to turn out. Something's criminal about that.
Awesome. We know that event is going to be incredible, and we look forward to that on Saturday. We're going to reach out to line five and grab Tony. Tony, are you on the air?
Yes, good afternoon. This is the first time I heard you on the radio, and it sounds to me like you are a man with a sound mind, so I know you must be a man of God, because he is not the author of confusion, and you do not sound confused at all, and I appreciate that.
We appreciate you. What do you have to say? Because you sound like a man of God, period.
Well, what I want to say is I believe in America today we're being attacked. There's a cultural terrorism going on that we have to acknowledge, and I mean combat to the best of our ability. We have to combat this cultural terrorism of male sperm sharing, okay? And it's destroying, it's confusing our youth, it's destroying families, it's leaving our culture just confused, females and males just confused to the, I don't know, nth degree. And it's something not in hate, in love, love everybody, but we have to combat, and we cannot join forces as a people with any entities that want to push this agenda It is a mentality of confusion, which is not authorized by the Creator. So we as black people cannot be on the same platform of anyone that is pushing this confused agenda.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. Just as people of God, we cannot participate in anything that has to do with anything confusion. That's why one thing we consistently do is ask for clarity, and we pray for clarity, and we pray for discernment and understanding. So we're excited about coming up with some solutions, some positive solutions to that situation. So it's important for brothers like you to call in to address those concerns, so we can not just only talk about it, but we can also have an engagement and some positive discussion as to how we solve it or how we address that situation.
Well, that's a good, you said pray for clarity. So I'm going to do that, and I pray that the rest of the believers pray for clarity and just make sure you're not aligning yourselves with that situation, promoting that confused lifestyle. So let's pray and love, but let's not be confused.
All right, Brother Tony, we appreciate the call, and we thank you for your input. We're going to go over here to line three. And line three, we have a young lady who is doing some awesome work in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. I've known her for over 20 years, and she is a shining light, not just for men, but for women, of how to stick and stay. She's an example of someone who's overcome adversity to make great things happen, not just in her life, but through all the people that she helps because of her example and the people that she employs. And that is Miss Lena Bell, who is the CEO of an awesome company, Preeminent Protective Services. And she's doing great work, as I said, in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. Lena, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I just wanted you to call in today because we have so many listeners. We have so many men and particularly women, young women who you know, may be in a situation where they have an idea. They may have a business, or they may be not even sure what they really want to do, you know, with their career, with their lives. So I wanted to know, can you just briefly tell us a little bit about you and your story and some of the things and challenges and victories that you've had in, you know, during your career? Just share with the listeners a little bit about your story.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm Lena Bell, CEO of Preeminent Protective Services, and been in business since 2001. And for the most part, it has been a challenge being in a male-dominated industry. And one of the biggest things that I would share is that whatever industry you decide to be in, you have to make sure that you absolutely learn and absolutely make a decision that you're going to work harder and that you're going to be the absolute best. And that means being diligent about learning every single thing that needs to be done, being willing to go the extra mile, work the additional hours, and just listen to the people that have gone before you and that have set the example so that you can do the right thing and you can bypass a lot of the mistakes and a lot of the errors that others have made so that you can have an opportunity to move forward at a quicker rate than if you decide to not listen and continue to make some of the same mistakes.
Do you feel that they, this is Reverend Doc Napata, do you feel that they are treating you fairly as you attempt to grow your business, get more business, as well as making sure that they treat you fair and not treat you unlike other folk?
Well, the thing about being treated fairly is that you actually have to demand it. You have to figure out what is it that you have to be able to prove over and over again that will allow someone to take a look at you and give you an opportunity without bringing prejudicial factors into place. So, for example, for a long time at the beginning of the business, I did not go and meet with clients face-to-face. Everything was done either via email or in a different scenario, I actually had a male partner that would actually go out and meet with the client. And it wasn't until 3 or 4 years later when the only thing that they saw was the excellence of service and the consistency and always being there, ready and available and always performing, that when they finally did meet me, they had absolutely no excuse and no reason to back down and not give me the opportunity.
Repeat that word, and I'll throw you right back. You just excite me. Throw you right back to Brother Arnold. The word excellence. Excellence. What does that mean to you that you want our listeners to understand? So as people come and bring their services, they bring them with excellence.
Well, I tell you what, our company motto is no excuses, just excellence. And we live by it. We breathe it. Every single employee needs to absolutely understand that that's what we live by. And as a result of living by that motto, we really make it hard on ourselves as far as constantly, every single time, every single day, every single moment, we make the decision that we have to perform. We have to always deliver and always exceed expectation. And I think that once you have that and that is taught from the first time an employee walks into the door, the first time you shake that client's hand, that it just becomes, you know, what we do. And no matter what, if we continue to make that and everyone understands that, that you will succeed and no one can stop you from growing.
Awesome. Awesome. So I know that you are a big proponent of personal development. Can you talk a little bit about just some of the things that you do to keep yourself encouraged, to keep your mindset? Because the challenge, you know, as you mentioned before, is all in the mind and to be able to keep fighting through that adversity. So can you talk a little bit about what you do to keep yourself sharp, to keep yourself committed to excellence as you lead? Because you're a leader. You're what they call a pinnacle leader. A pinnacle leader is a leader who births other leaders, and that's you. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. First of all, I am a Christian, and I believe in putting God first. And so in everything that I do, he is always put at the head and center. In addition to that, meditations, prayers, affirmations, reading, positive mental attitude books, and then surrounding myself with mentors and other people that are doing what I want to do or are ahead of where I want to be, that I can learn from and that can sharpen me.
Awesome. Awesome. And one thing I just want to, and we're going to let you go. I know your time is very valuable and we appreciate you calling in. As we come up on this Father's Day coming up next week, were there any father figures or role models? You talk about mentors. Were there any men who played a major role in your development and your success?
Yes, plenty. One in particular is Mr. Charles Scott of the Charles Scott Organization, and then one of my current mentors, Mr. Larry Black of Sidlar Consulting, who is always on my case about what are you reading, are you on your meditations, what are your prayers, you know, and whenever something is amiss, I get a call saying, okay, what are you doing today? What are you thinking about? You know, because a lot of times when we're going through the day-to-day and we're being faced with the different challenges, sometimes those challenges, you know, show through physical things that happen in our lives or mental things that happen in our way of thinking or in the way that we respond to a situation. And sometimes we just need someone to remind us that, you know what, don't try to do this on your own. You know, seek and do your prayers, your meditations, and know that God has your back.
Wow, that's incredible. And again, I just want to thank you again for calling in. I want to thank you for sticking. I want to thank you for your commitment. I want to thank you that because of your example, I can have my 9-year-old daughter and point directly to you. She can see someone that looks like her and be an example of what can be done in business and in life. So again, I commend you on it. I appreciate you calling in. If someone wants to, we have callers that are listening from all over the world. We have people here in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. If someone wanted to use your services for your companies that you manage and that you own, how can they get in contact with you, or how do you have a website or something they can go to find out more about Preeminent?
Yes, absolutely. The website address is www.ppssvc.com, and that's PapaPapaSamSamVictorCharlie.com.
Awesome. Well, again, we thank you so much, Ms. Bell, and we look forward to you hopefully maybe one day coming into the studio and fielding some calls from our listeners who may be looking to get into business or just Amen. Learn more about you and your example. So we appreciate you calling.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for inspiring me and my daughters out there who also are businesswomen. And one of the things we say so often is if you want to keep us on the air, and we thank you so much for being a resource that people will listen to and learn from. And there are many ways that you can support the show by your contribution so that we will continue to be on this air, saying the things, empowering people, as you have just done by responding to this great man's asking of a great woman to give a great message over the airways. We have other callers.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go out to line 2. And caller on line 2, you're in the air. Is this Lasana?
That is correct. Good afternoon.
Hey, brother.
Glad to be on your show, and I want to share with you and your listeners about an event happening on Saturday in D.C. Speaking of organizing, as you were speaking of earlier, this event is organizing around the critical issue of economics and economic empowerment for people of African descent.
Lasana, pause for a second. Tell people who you are and what you do. You do so much, brother.
Thank you, brother. My name is Lasana Mack, and I am the founder and executive director of Appeal Incorporated. Appeal is a relatively new entity based in D.C., launched last year, and our mission is to work towards economic empowerment and educational enrichment for our communities. Prior to that, I was actually a treasurer of Washington, D.C. for 7 years. And gained a wealth of knowledge and experience about financial management and how to use financing structures to build communities.
So the money man for D.C.? Say it again.
Yes,
you was the what? What was you, the treasurer?
I was the treasurer.
Come on over and talk to us over here, bro, man.
Yes, sir. So,
go ahead, brother.
You know, using that knowledge and experience and building an institution and building structures for our community. And a primary among those things that we are building is we're in the process of creating a credit union. We realize that we need to harness and leverage the financial resources of our community to help build an infrastructure for our community for us to become self-reliant and self-sufficient economically.
Tell us about the event, brother. Thank you. And we're going to bring you over to Baltimore, brother, because you can help us with some things. I'm sure we can help you.
Yes, sir. And actually, I was just participating in a conference over at Baltimore a couple weeks ago called Baltimore Economic Democracy.
That's right.
So it was good to link with folks from Baltimore there. But this Saturday at Union Temple Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., we're having an event, a powerful event titled Building a Movement for Black Economic Empowerment. And we are we're bringing in for this event Maggie Anderson, a sister from Chicago, who has gotten... I'm sorry.
Take your time, bro.
Technical difficulty there.
We got 2 minutes, so can you wrap it up and invite us to come over to participate in that conference? Because we got some stuff going on, too. So
yes, sir. We got Maggie Anderson, who's leading this new empowerment experiment, conscious consumerism movement, pulling together people and businesses to increase our support for black businesses. We got Brother Tony Browder, internationally renowned cultural historian.
All right, brother, listen, we're going to make sure we get that information out, but we have to wrap up now.
We thank
everybody for listening, and we want everyone to take charge, take control, and God bless.